So welcome to the Mysterion Truth Bible Study Voice Room. This is the brainchild of our beloved brother, Barnabas Bagby. I'm so humbled to fill in for Barnabas on the fourth Sunday of every month. I will never be able to fill his shoes as a Bible teacher, that's for sure. He is the best of the lot. I speak for all of us when I say we deeply miss the voice and teaching of Barnabas Bagby, who is taking a leave for some health reasons, but we pray that the Lord will restore him and give him 15 more years like he did for Hezekiah. Meanwhile, we are blessed to have faithful men who can teach others also. Phil Bagby, Dr. Mike Michikowski, Forrest Cottrell, and Chico Lopez. Well, I'm here only because Ronnie McCurry took a big risk some time back and allowed me to speak once a few years ago. I haven't been fired yet, so you'll have to take it up with Ronnie if you want someone else. I just received my TFT newsletter, and every article in there is an excellent one to read. Thank you, Forrest and Mike and Kelly Bagby, for your excellent work and contributions. Thank you, Chip Winchester, for putting that together six times a year. It's a blessing to a lot of people. Well, today is January 26, 2025. January is about in the books here. The speaker is Alan Mass from Westfield, Indiana. The lesson today will be on Lo Ami as a prophecy. Let me start in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. It is so precious to us. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we love you for it. Bless this study, bless the hearers, and bless the recording and the technology so that we can continue to learn from your deep, deep knowledge that you have in the Word of God. We just barely scratched the surface. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So, the title is Lo Ami as the Prophecy. In the Companion Bible, the introductory notes to the book of Hosea states that Hosea was a prophet to the 10 tribes for the northern kingdom, but he had warnings for Judah also, as well as promises of future blessings. So, it also states that the book of Hosea points to the events immediately preceding the fall of Samaria, the capital of the 10 tribes. And my phone is doing weird things here. Sorry. These smart things are too smart. Way too smart. The name Lo Ami only occurs once in the scriptures and is found in Hosea 1:9. It literally means, I am not, I am to you. Now, Ronnie just read a verse in Genesis 17:7, where God promised Abraham that he would make an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So God made a covenant that he's going to be their God forever. So when he says, I am not, I am to you, was he lying? Or is this just a temporary timeout? It's been said, and I actually believe this a few years ago, that the term Lo Ami applies to the 10 tribes. And it should not be used to describe the present state of Israel after the end of the Acts. Well, let's look into this. Appendix 50, Roman numerals 7 and 11 in parentheses, in the companion Bible entitled the Lo-Ami periods, Bullinger uses this term to describe 10 periods when Jehovah dealt with Israel on a different principle in recording time. He describes the Lo-Ami years as a difference between the Anno Dei years, which are God's years of reckoning, and the Anno Mundi years, which are world's years of reckoning. And this is an answer to so-called discrepancies in the Bible chronology. These periods include 93 years in Judges and some 20 years in the Book of Kings. Well, technically, the term Lo-Ami came long after the Judges and the Kings. Also, the 70 years of Babylonian servitude, which came after Hosea, plus 21 years after the decree of Cyrus to rebuild the temple. So, perhaps we shouldn't use the term Lo-Ami in all these cases, and especially the present period of Israel's blindness. But I believe it is more than just a period of blindness. It's a completely different way that God is administering to a completely different group of people, and he is now dealing with the whole world alike and not in the ways he dealt with Israel. So this is, you would say, was just a temporary timeout. And you can call it a period of blindness, or you can call it a period of Lo-Ami. Either way, it would work. During these other periods, when Israel was disobedient to God, did he suspend everything pertaining to Israel? Well, the first temple stood for many years after the 10 tribes were scattered and determined Lo-Ami. It wasn't destroyed until Judah was scattered and some of them were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. Judah still had kings after Israel was gone. The kingdom of Judah was still Ami after the kingdom of Israel was Lo-Ami. When Daniel refused to pay homage to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, what did the rest of the Judahites do? What did they do? It doesn't say, but I assume they prayed to the homage of Nebuchadnezzar. Excuse me. Read Hosea. And when you read Hosea, read all of Hosea and read about the future of Israel and Judah coming together again in the future. If only the 10 tribes were Lo-Ami, then only the 10 tribes will be ransomed from the grave. Is that what it means in Ezekiel 37:11 when he said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Will only the 10 tribes be without a priest, etc.? Will only the 10 tribes be revived after 2 days? These are questions that we need to consider when deciding what Lo-Ami really means. Let's look at some prophecies, in particular in Hosea, because prophecies can have dual fulfillment. Maybe not all of them do, but some and many prophecies have dual fulfillment. In Hosea 12:10, it says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. So prophecies can have more than one fulfillment that are similar. Similitudes. In Hosea, can the prophecies about the kingdom of Israel also apply to the kingdom of Judah or the house of Israel overall? In Hosea 5:5, it says, and the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity, Judah also shall fall with them. Hosea 6:4, and if we want to start reading in verse 1, get to that. It says that, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Was he talking about just the 10 tribes? Then he said, we know if we follow on to the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as of the rain and the latter and the former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and the early dew, it goeth away. The morning cloud would be like fog. The dew goeth away. So this is just something temporary. It just goes away. In Hosea 8:8, it says, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Well, this can speak to the kingdom of Israel scattered among the nations. But when I read this, I can also see it speak to what happened to Israel at the end of the Acts. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Hosea 8:4. It says, for Israel hath forgotten his maker and built the temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Well, this happened at the destruction of both the first temple in what, around 611 BC? And it also happened to the second temple in 70 AD. So we can see that these prophecies can have dual fulfillment. They can mean different things. So, in Hosea, to whom were these prophecies speaking? Were they just speaking to the 10 tribes of Israel, or were they speaking to other groups also? For example, in Hosea 2:15, it says, I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. In Hosea 11:1, it again says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. So you could say, well, he's talking about Israel here, my son out of Egypt. He's talking about Israel. In Hosea 12:13, it says again, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. So, okay, he's talking about bringing Israel out of Egypt. But when we get to Matthew 2, verse 15, he's talking about Joseph and Mary. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So now these prophecies are referring to Jesus Christ. He's calling Jesus Christ out of Egypt. So those prophecies can have dual meanings. Hosea 6:6 says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Well, was he just speaking to the 10 tribes of Israel? Well, in Matthew 9:3, this verse is quoted, It says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So then Christ was talking to the Jews in Israel during his ministry. And again in Matthew 12:7, he says, but if ye had known what this meant, that I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. So that prophecy have dual meanings. Hosea 2:23, he says, and I will show her unto me the earth, and the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I shall say unto them which are not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. So is he just talking about the 10 tribes? You know, some people say the 10 tribes are gone forever and never being come back, but God is saying someday they shall be his people. Well, Romans 9:25-26, as it saith in also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. In 26 it says, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So there again, we're talking about not just the 10 tribes, we're talking about all of Israel here. Because it's in Romans, and Paul is talking to the Jews there in the Acts period. For look at Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. So is that just speaking of the 10 tribes of Israel? In 1 Corinthians 15:55, Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So Paul is quoting that verse again to the Acts period Israelites. In Hosea 2:2, he says, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that have not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which are not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. We quoted that before, but now in 1 Peter 2:5 and 2:10, Peter says, ye also as lively stones. Now he's speaking to the 12 tribes of Israel here, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up a spiritual sacrifice as acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he says, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now will have obtained mercy. So he's talking about all of Israel here, all the 12 tribes, not just the 10 tribes. Let's talk about some other prophecies outside of Hosea. We look at Isaiah 6:9-10. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and ye shall be healed. Well, this prophecy was quoted by Christ to all of Israel, represented by those in his lifetime in Judea. And that was in Matthew 13:14-15. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith,
By hearing, ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. And also in John 12, 40 through 41, I'm going to back up a little bit to 11:53. He says, from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. So they were wanting to kill the Lord. In 12:37, it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. In 12:39, it says, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted, as I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So this prophecy was to all of Israel at that time. And then Paul repeats it again in Acts 28, 25 through 27, starting in verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came unto him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. That was a whole day sermon. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had not agreed among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Verse 26, saying, go to this people and say, hearing ye shall not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall not see, but and not perceive. For the hearts of this people is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And this was at the point where we believe the sons of Israel were deemed Lo Ami, which continues to this day until he resumes again with Israel. But you can see here that this one prophecy was used at least four times in the periods of the New Testament under different circumstances, but basically to the same people. But that was multiple use prophecies. And here's an interesting one, which we commonly know about. This is in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, who is the Lord talking to here through Isaiah? He was talking to Ahaz, telling Ahaz that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, the word virgin here means ha-ama in the Hebrew, and it means a definite, well-known damsel whose identity was unmistakable. The Hebrew word for a virgin is Bethulah. So this was an unmistakable damsel, not just any virgin. This is a sign to Ahaz, this damsel was she was unmistakably identified. When fulfilled, it was Mary, which was the Greek for virgin Parthenos. This prophecy was spoken to Ahaz. And if you read later, Abi was the well-known, unmistakable virgin married to Ahaz, who gave birth to Hezekiah, his son. So in 2 Kings 18:1-2, It says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, the king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. In Isaiah 8:8, it says, and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over it. He shall reach even unto the neck and the stretched out of his wings, and shall fill the breadth of the land, O Emmanuel. So he was speaking using that term Emmanuel in that verse. And in verse 8:10, it says, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us, which is the meaning of Emmanuel. So these verses had an application during the time of Ahaz and beyond, and it also has application speaking of the birth of Christ. O Emmanuel, God is with us. A dual purpose of those. And then, also, just concerning the term Lo Ami, Hosea 1:9-10, then God said, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. But right in the next verse, it says, and yet the number of the children or sons, everywhere where it says children of Israel in the Old Testament should be sons of Israel, shall be as the sand of the sea. Does that sound familiar from Ronnie's study this morning? Which cannot be numbered or measured. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, then it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. So he's talking about the sons of Israel here. He's not just talking about the 10 tribes. He's talking about all of the sons of Israel, the sons of the living God. In Romans 9:22-26, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So now we're in the Acts period here, and Paul quotes, as he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people, which are not my people, and her beloved, which are not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God. So, Paul was not just speaking to the 10 tribes here, he was speaking to the children of Israel during the Acts period. The prophet of Isaiah wrote concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah 8:17. And he said, Isaiah just wasn't speaking of the 10 tribes. He was speaking, he overlapped with Hosea, but maybe after Hosea, he was speaking more to Judah and Jerusalem. And in Isaiah 8:17, he says, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. So that phrase, that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, that is a Lo Ami condition. He hides his face from the house of Jacob. Another case is Isaiah 54:7. He says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. So he's describing this low Ami condition as a small moment. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. So it wasn't a permanent forsaking of the 10 tribes or anybody. It was just a temporary setting aside. In verse 8 he says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Again, I hid my face from thee for a moment. This is the Lo Ami condition of Israel. And this could speak of any of these times when Israel was deemed Lo Ami temporarily. In Hosea 5:15, he says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Again, this phrase, I will go and return to my place. So it's like God says, okay, you guys do what you want to do. I'm going home. And when you can acknowledge your offenses and seek my face, then I'll return. So these are all phrases that refer, I think, to the Lo Ami condition of Israel. So there is an argument here that the term Lo Ami could be used for all these times when Israel was not in God's favor. And if that bothers someone, then I guess you can just call it something else. Big time out. take a break. You know, whatever. It's just a time of their blindness. It could be called other things. But I think there's an argument that could be made that these prophecies in Hosea applied more than just to the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Excuse me, I still got the crud, the winter crud. And prophecies are amazing. At least they always astound me how they can pull things out of the Old Testament and apply it to something in the New Testament. And you kind of sometimes say, well, where did that come from? Or how did they figure that? And at least we don't have to pay for these. Imagine if these prophecies charged people to hear their prophecies. You know, I had to get a new truck. My other truck had some issues. I had to get a new truck. And it's got all these bells and whistles, and it's got this thing where it keeps itself within the lines on the highway, and you can drive hands-free, and it's got a little thing that projects your speed and time and temperature and everything up on the windshield. It's called a heads-up display, so you don't have to look down at your dial. It's right in your windshield as you're driving. Pretty cool stuff, but some of that stuff is by subscription. In other words, you have to pay for it to continue it. You know, every year you got to pay for that luxury. And it's like Sirius XM. You know, it's nice to have that on your vehicle, but you got to pay for that continually. And even the news we get. You know, when I grew up as a child, we bought a TV and you turn on the TV and you got all the news. Well, now today, to get any news, you have to subscribe to a satellite service. In most cases, and they're pretty much done away with any local antennas, and you have to, you don't get free news by turning on the TV. How much do you pay for Dish, or how much do you pay for DirecTV or cable news, even if it's on the internet? How many times do you get I get emails where they want to do a survey, and I put in my answers, and it, oh, well, to make this authentic, you have to donate money. Okay, so everything is tied to money, it seems like, these days. And these folks back in those days, they got, Microsoft charges for word on my computer. Yeah, everything now has a fee attached to it. So it's just nickel dimes just to death. And back in the Old Testament, I mean, they had these prophets. They went around and spoke for free, you know, and some people didn't like what they heard, but it was God speaking to them. So, the point of this lesson was that prophecies can have more than one fulfillment, sometimes two or more. And I hope that blesses you and your studies. And I hope you have a great weekend and a great day. I know there's some big football games on later today, which I'll probably be watching. Hope you all have a blessed week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.